So I'm Timmy Zhu, and I just finished my first year at Carnegie Mellon University. And today I'm going to be talking about large in-memory caches, such as the ones you might find with Memcached. And so we all know these are great for performance, and we all like a lot of cache. But since this is hot cloud, we're going to do something a little bit more radical. We're going to actually look at getting rid of the cache, or at least a lot of it. So now this will obviously save us an operational cost, because we don't have to have as many cache servers. But what does this do to performance? And so we'll look at some of these issues in this talk today. And so this is joint work with Anshul Gandhi, Moore Harcourt Balter, my advisor, and Mike Kozich from Intel Labs. So here we have a typical distributed system architecture that you're probably familiar with. User requests come in to the load balancer at the front end, and they get distributed among an application tier. And so these are a bunch of stateless servers, as indicated by the rectangles in the picture. These servers get all their user data from the back-end database. So as we all know, the database is really slow, and it is easy to become a bottleneck. So the important piece in this architecture here for performance is a caching tier. And so this caching tier helps both alleviate the database load, and it's also much faster. So the two reasons that we have a caching tier are, first of all, it reduces the database load. So if we have, let's say, Lambda requests coming into the system, then we want the request at the database, which we define as Lambda DB, to be much less than Lambda. And so this is because if we have too many requests going to the database will start choking, and the performance will get really, really bad. So here we can see on the x-axis is the Lambda DB, and on the y-axis we have the mean response time at the database itself. And so after a certain point, the database will start choking, and then the response times get really, really bad really quick. And so the caching tier helps in terms of absorbing most of these requests, and then only a few requests will go to the database. And so also the second reason for having the caching tier is also it reduces the latency, because the cache is using RAM and is much, much faster than going to disk in the database. So this all points to having a lot of cache. The cache is very important, is very good, and we like it. But DRAM is also very expensive as well. And so if you actually look at like Amazon costs, we tried taking our system in. If we looked at instantiating on Amazon, we found that over a third of our cost would come from just the caching tier itself. So even though we only have a few cache servers, we found that it still accounts for a significant portion of the cost. So it is quite expensive. But fortunately, we don't actually have to pay the cost all the time, perhaps, because load actually varies a lot throughout the day. And so the thought is maybe during low load, we might be able to survive with maybe a slightly smaller cache. Maybe we might be able to give up some of it. And so this whole load fluctuation thing has been studied in many other papers for, let's say, the application tier. So there have been some papers that looked at scaling and dynamically provisioning the application tier during low load, and they found great savings from doing that type of thing. But what about the caching tier? So far, people haven't really looked into dynamically provisioning the caching tier, probably because it's very hard. It's not easy to deal with the data and moving it around. And also, we all really like a cache. So some people have actually proposed using even more RAM in your system, such as like the RAM cloud thing that's proposing using putting your whole data set in your in RAM. But in this talk, we're going to do something different. We're going to actually look at shrinking your cache during the low load and seeing how much this will affect performance and how much we can save. So now this will bring up some key questions. And so as we said before, the caching tier helps shield the database from most of the requests. So now if we start going and shrinking it, what happens to the database performance? Are we going to overflow, flood the database with too many requests? In other words, will Lambda DB become too high? And so now, even if we can shrink the database, shrink the cache by some amount, the second question is whether these are actually significant or not. And lastly, if we want to go and shrink the cache, we still have to deal with the issue of moving around the data in the cache, because there's a lot of hot data that you lose. So we still have to deal with this somehow. So getting to the first question of whether we can actually even shrink the cache in the first place, it's good to look at an example to figure this out. So suppose our cache has a hit rate of P, and we have the Lambda request per second coming into the system. Then the cache will be able to handle Lambda P requests per second, and then the remaining Lambda 1 minus P requests per second will actually be handled by the database. And this is what we've been calling Lambda DB. And so as we were saying earlier, we want to keep this Lambda DB low. Now the important part here is to note that Lambda DB is a product of these two terms, Lambda and the miss rate 1 minus P. So if you actually think about the load Lambda decreasing, say by a factor of 2, then if you want to keep the same Lambda DB, your miss rate 1 minus P can actually go up by a factor of 2 as well. And so this actually implies that your hit rate P can go down. And if your hit rate can go down, then you can survive with a smaller cache, and so you can actually save some money. So to put this in concrete terms, suppose we have 100 requests per second coming into the system, and we have a hit rate of 0.9. So the 90 requests will be handled by the cache, and 10 requests per second will be handled by the database. And if your load drops, let's say, in the night by a factor of 2 to 50 requests per second, and you keep the same cache size and you have the same hit rate, let's assume, then your database load actually drops in half as well. So in reality, you can actually shrink your cache by some amount to, let's say, 0.8, and then you will actually end up with the same 10 requests per second at your database. So this example shows that we can actually shrink our cache hit rate by a little bit and still maintain the same performance. And so we can actually afford a lower hit rate at low load. Now, in the previous example, we only went from a hit rate of 0.9 to 0.8. And so that's a very small difference. So does that actually imply large savings? Do we only save maybe 10%? And so we looked into this issue, and we found that really it depends on the popularity distribution. And so what we mean by popularity distribution is that not all the data items are equally likely to be accessed, and some data items are more popular than others. And so we looked at how the popularity distribution is related to the hit rate. So on the x-axis, we show how much data you cache, assuming you cache the most popular data. And the y-axis shows your hit rate P. And so here, this line shows a uniform distribution, which is the same to say a completely random or random distribution. Every data item is equally likely to be accessed. So under such a distribution, if you cache, let's say, 90% of the data, you would have a hit rate of 0.9, as you'd expect. And so if we look at such a distribution, then the small change in hit rate, say from 0.9 to 0.8, leads to only a small change in your amount of data that you need to cache by about 10%. But if you actually look at some literature and some studies on popularity distribution, what you find is, in reality, popularity distributions are more like a ZIF distribution, which is saying that there's a few popular people that account for most of your hits, whereas most of the rest of the data items are less popular. I mean, you can imagine like Facebook or something where there's a few popular celebrities, but then you have the rest of the common folk, which no one really cares about. So if you look at such a distribution, then if you have a small decrease in your hit rate from the same 0.9 to 0.8, you can actually get a pretty large savings in your cache size. And so this led us to look into how this affects like cache savings. And so in our experiments, we decided to vary a couple parameters and see how much cache we can save while maintaining performance. And one of these parameters that we go and investigate is this peak to low load ratio. So what I mean by this is you have the peak load during the day that you might have and expect, and then during the night you might have some low load. And you take the peak load and you divide it by the low load, and that's what your peak to low load ratio is. For instance, you might have like a 4x difference between the peak and the low load. And so we vary this on the x-axis between 1, which is no difference, a constant load, let's say, and a difference of 10. And on the y-axis, we show how much cash you can actually save while maintaining performance goals. And so here, this line shows our theoretical model results. And they're pretty impressive. And we also validated our model with some experimental results as shown by the x's. So now if you look at, let's say, the 4x peak to low load ratio, we find that you can actually achieve 50% cash savings about. So that means you can actually throw away half your cash during this low load, and you can still maintain your performance goals. So this sounds pretty good. Another parameter that we also tried varying is the ZIF distribution itself. So now the ZIF distribution is a family of distributions, and they have some that are more skewed and some that are less skewed than others. And so by more skewed, I mean there's a smaller group of people that's more popular and accounts for a larger part of the hit rate. And so with a more skewed distribution, you actually find greater savings. And with a less skewed distribution, you have slightly less savings. But in all cases, we can see that you have a large amount of savings. So what we found is that even a small hit change in your hit rate, if you have a ZIF-like distribution or some skewed heavy-tailed distribution, you can actually achieve pretty large savings. So now, lastly, we want to look at the issue of how to actually do this, how to actually shrink your cash, and what we do about the hot data that we lose in the process. Do we need to do anything in the first place? Is there a problem? And what can we do about it? So to look into this, we ran this experiment, and we decided to have on the x-axis a timeline view of what happens, and this is in minutes. The y-axis shows you the mean response time of the system. At the 1 minute mark, we're gonna go and shrink the cache and see what happens. And so, voila, we see when we shrink the cache at the 1 minute mark, all of a sudden, the performance tanks. And you have really high mean response times. And as we suspected, this is because you lost a bunch of hot data all at once. So as it's trying to get the data back from the database, it's starting to add to the load at the database, and it's also slower in general, and so it's starting to take a lot of time. The interesting thing here is that after some time, after about 3 minutes, the response time actually stabilizes, and so this indicates that we actually have enough cash. It's not that we threw away too much cash. It's just that during this transient period, we're trying to warm up the cache, and that's causing extra load at the database that we can't really handle. But what we ideally want is we want to stay below some sort of 100 millisecond performance goal that we had set out throughout the whole time, and we would like not to have this huge spike for a few minutes. And so to deal with this, we can look at this illustrative example. Here we have a caching tier, and each of the rectangles represents individual cache servers. And so they will contain some really hot data, as indicated by the red, and some less popular items, as indicated by the blue. And so if we take our solution that we did before, where we just toss the cache server, then basically what we do is we toss the cache server, and we lost some of the red blocks. Ideally, what we want is we want the red blocks already to be moved over. And that's the state we want to be in when we reduce the cache size. And so the key insight here is that we should be transferring the hot data before we actually go in, remove servers. Otherwise, we'll have this performance problem. Now, you probably are already thinking of many ways of doing this, and they're probably more efficient than what we did. All we wanted to show was a simple solution that takes this into account will avoid this problem. And so what we did is we decided to divide our caching tier into two groups, the retiring group, which is the group of servers you want to get rid of but haven't yet, and then the rest of the servers, which is the primary group. And so every request that comes into the system will now query both of these groups, and if you find in the retiring group but not the primary group, then you go and transfer it over. So essentially, you're just warming up the primary group without going to the database. And we find that we can just go, after we warm up the data, we can kill the retiring group servers, and then we find that this will actually completely solve the issue. And so we can go back and run our experiment again. And the blue here is the same graph as you saw before, which is a naive solution of just tossing a server. And over on the bottom, we have our green solution that we proposed, and we see that it meets the goals the entire time. So now to conclude, we were looking at the issue of whether we can actually scale the caching tier during low load to save us on operational costs. And what we find is, and this will bring up some questions of whether we can actually do this in the first place. What we find is we can actually support a lower hit rate at a lower load. And so this is actually possible without ruining your performance. And this brings up the question of whether it's actually a large savings or not. And we find that if you actually have a ZIF-like distribution, even a small change in hit rate can lead to pretty large, significant savings in your cache size. And lastly, this brings up the question of how do we actually go and shrink the cache without having transient performance problems. And what we find is that we need to transfer the data before we actually shrink the cache. And a simple mechanism can take care of this. Thus, we've shown that this sounds like a reasonable idea to actually go and look at actually using less DRAM during low load to save operational costs. Thank you for listening to my talk.